Lord, I thank you for the book of Habakkuk. And Lord Jesus, while I don't necessarily like all the things that happened through that book, God, I love your word. And what you share to us in your word is always so real. And Father, I thank you for that. I thank you that you put the book of Habakkuk into your word. Because even though sometimes it's kind of difficult, God, it's real life. And you speak to us in real life situations. And I thank you for that. I thank you that your word is just as relevant today as it was 2,000 years ago, God. And Lord, I just pray this morning that as we engage your word, God, that you will speak to us. God, I know you desire to speak to us. And so, Lord, even now, I just pray you'd open our hearts, God. Lord, whatever we came here with this morning, whatever distractions we might have, God, I pray you'd help us to open our hearts to you, Lord, now. Open our minds, God, to receive from you what you would have for each of us, God. And I thank you that this morning you can speak to us in individual ways. And so, God, I pray, Lord, would you do that? And so we give you this time now, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, if you are just joining us this morning, we've been working through, as I said, 3 weeks through the book of Habakkuk. And this Sunday, we're on the last one. We're on chapter 3. Now, there isn't a lot. I'm going to give you a little rundown on Habakkuk because it's not long. And those of you that weren't here, I did talk to a few that weren't here for the other two. So I'll give you a quick rundown. And there are certain things, there's a lot of things actually that we don't know about Habakkuk. Habakkuk is one of those guys that we know probably the least amount about as far as a prophet goes. But we do know a couple of things. We know that his book was written in 600 BC. We know that he was a contemporary with the prophet Jeremiah. We know that he was a part, or his book, the book of Habakkuk, was placed in a section of books called the Minor Prophets. Again, not because of the least amount of things or unimportant things he had to say, but really because he didn't have as much to say as some of the other prophets. So there's 12 of them, and they make up the group of the Minor Prophets that you find in your Bible. Now, as we mentioned before and have mentioned in the past, that a prophet essentially is someone that would get a message from God, and his role was to hear God's word and to speak it to the people. The difference with Habakkuk was the fact that while he heard a message from God for the people, he took the people's message and he gave it then back to God. And so he hears this message of doom, this message, a burdensome message that has been given to him, and he doesn't really like it. And if you're just joining us here this morning and didn't hear the other two, if you're wondering, why didn't he like it? What's happening? What's going on? Well, essentially, God had come to Habakkuk, and he had said to Habakkuk, he said that Israel is corrupt. They're a wicked, wicked people. They are not good. And it's time now for me to come and bring judgment on the nation of Israel. And so Habakkuk, he looks around and, you know what God is saying is very true. Habakkuk, I mean, Israel is not good. They are corrupt. They are wicked at this point. And so he agrees. Sounds right. And God says, but I'm going to use the Babylonians to come and bring this judgment on them. And that's when Habakkuk says, you had me up until the fact that, you know, that Israel was bad. But, I mean, the Babylonians, not them. He couldn't understand how God could possibly use the Babylonians. And he struggled with this, and he wrestled with this. I mean, compared to the Babylonians, the Israelites at this point were, looked like Boy Scouts. And as he began to wrestle with this, he shared his frustration. And he said, God, you know, I don't understand what you're doing here. I don't get what you're saying, really. And God, what you're doing, it doesn't really seem fair. This doesn't make sense to me. And if today you've ever said that to God, if you've ever looked at what God has been doing in your life, and you say, God, this doesn't make sense. God, I don't understand what you're doing. God, this doesn't seem fair. You will really connect with the book of Habakkuk. And so we're going to quickly run back to our diagram that we've been working with. And like I said, this is the last time you will see it. If you've been here for all three, you might be seeing this in your sleep. I don't know. But maybe you won't forget it then. That's good. So we've been working with this diagram from Seth Godin's book called The Dip. And it's a different book. It's not on Habakkuk, but it really applies here. And essentially, this is kind of how the graph looks that we've been working with here. And so it looks like this. Over here is a spot of an unsaved person. And they come to know Christ, right? And so God opens their eyes, they receive Christ, and it's an amazing, amazing thing. God does some wonderful things in their lives. It's exciting. God is opening their eyes to the scripture. It's wonderful. God is answering prayers. He's speaking to them in sermons. He's speaking to them through their devotions. It's just a very exciting time. And they go on a growth trajectory. It's very, very high, fast, wonderful, exciting. But then, as we know, if you've lived a little while, life doesn't stay on that type of trajectory, and some things just begin to happen and change. And maybe let's say you lose your job. You say, God, I thought we had this deal here. I pray you do what I say. I rub the genie lamp and you pop out and give me my wishes. God, what's going on here? Maybe you get sick. And you're wondering, God, this doesn't seem fair. I'm serving you. What? Maybe your kids start going off the rails and you're wondering, God, what are you doing? And we have a very real Habakkuk chapter 1 question. And we have what Henry Blackaby calls a crisis of belief, where what we see with our eyes doesn't match with what we believe in our heart. And so we question, we wonder. And at this point, Christians often do one of two things. They can do a third, and some do, but often they'll go either this way and they'll just say, God, I forget it. I don't want to be a person of faith anymore. I'm walking away from you. I'm walking away from the faith. The other part is they might go up here and go back here and try to ignore what's happening right here. Try to ignore what God is doing, what God is saying, where God is taking you. And so they try to ignore it and try to run back to their former days. A third option, though, is that you would walk here and you would walk through this valley. And if God would take you through this valley, lovingly take you through this dip and this valley, there is a wonderful thing awaiting for you here, a closeness to God that you will not even begin to imagine unless you walk through here. And this here is what really we dealt with last week. This was Habakkuk chapter 2. This is the waiting time where we wait in faith for what God is going to do. And so now we come to Habakkuk chapter 3. And even though things on the outside are not getting any better for Habakkuk, God does not come along to Habakkuk and say, "Hey, Habakkuk, just kidding. There's no infiltration by enemy forces. We're not going to judge you. Psych, we got you." No, he doesn't come and say to Habakkuk, "Habakkuk, because of your questioning, it made me question too. And you know, I think you're right, Habakkuk. I've changed my mind." God doesn't say that to Habakkuk. And so nothing in Habakkuk's world is really changing. A judgment is still coming. And so Habakkuk, things aren't getting any better. But something begins to happen, and there begins to have some change. And in chapter 3, we see that as Habakkuk waits in faith, as we have looked at in chapter 2, as Habakkuk waits in faith, something begins to change. And Habakkuk's faith in God and his worship in God begins to grow. In the New Testament scripture we talked in our first time from James 1:2-4 kind of looks at it this way. "Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance." The testing of your faith develops. Consider it pure joy, brothers, when you face trials of many kinds, because the testing of your faith develops perseverance. And perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking in anything. And oftentimes, God will take us through a valley and take us through a dip. A lot of people want a deep, intimate relationship with God, but don't realize that God will often use the valley to take you there. And with that foundation, we're going to jump into Habakkuk chapter 3 and verse 1. It says this, a prayer of Habakkuk, the prophet, on Shigionoth. Now, Shigionoth, essentially, you may wonder what that is. I wondered what that was. So I looked it up, and it essentially, as far as there's a lot of debate on it, but essentially it's kind of, I think, like a song. Basically what I came to the conclusions as I looked at all the arguments and what it was all about. We're not going to get into that. But essentially, Habakkuk's coming in prayer and song to the Lord. And so here he comes, a prayer of Habakkuk the prophet on Shigionoth. Verse 2, Lord, he says, I have heard of your fame. I stand in awe of your deeds, O Lord. Renew them in our day. In our time, make them known. In wrath, remember mercy. Essentially, he comes to God and he says, God, I've heard of your fame. I've heard of what you've done. I've heard of your deeds, God, that you've done. We here today have heard of what God has done. We know of his deeds. We were here when the Cuban pastor who had come and shared about all those churches that were planted and started to grow in Cuba. Exciting. God, we've heard of your deeds. We heard of those little kids in the Watoto choir that was here. And we heard of how they were orphaned and they were brought in. And the hope has been restored in their life. God, we've heard of your fame. We know of your deeds. God, we know what you can do, God. We've seen God do things in our lives. I remember times when God has seemed so real to me and saw his power demonstrated. But I also remember times when I've felt dry and when God has felt far from me. And Habakkuk, he's saying, God, renew those days, renew those things in our time, in our day. Renew that time when all we can do, God, is stand in awe of you, God. God, I remember when you used to do this, when your deeds were powerful and you showed yourself strong. God, do it again. Well, what do you do when you're in the valley, you're in the dip, and circumstances you're facing are not changing? How do you, by faith, climb out of the valley? You see, it's one thing to climb out of the valley when, say, you know, you're here, and you're wondering, and all of a sudden you lose your job, and you're waiting, and then all of a sudden you win the lottery, and woo, you know, it's easy. I'm out of the valley. That's fast. What do you do, though, when you're in the valley like Habakkuk, and your circumstances aren't changing? Things aren't getting better. And how do you, by faith, begin to climb out of that valley? Well, we learned some things from Habakkuk. Because Habakkuk began to do this. And we see in Habakkuk chapter 3 how he begins to do this. And I think there are some things here that we can apply directly to our lives. And the first thing is this. It is to learn to remember. We need to learn to remember what God has done. We look back and we remember God's goodness and faithfulness and the character of God. We look back. Habakkuk, he looks back at some very specific things. And he does it in such a way that trigger to them where they're at some very real spiritual memories. In our own life, there are things that we come across that trigger spiritual, or not spiritual, but just trigger memories. I used to walk home. I used to live not far from here. And so sometimes when I would walk home, I would smell smoke coming out of somebody's fireplace. And you know, as I smelt that smoke, I was instantly taken back to camping, sitting around that fire. Those s'mores were, you know, coming into my tummy. Oh, that was a good time. And we smell a smell and it takes us back. Maybe it's apple pie and you remember grandma's house and it just takes you right back. Songs can do that, you know. You remember as soon as a song comes, certain specific song comes on, and you remember as the first time that you held hands with your wife and all those feelings that kind of flooded you instantly return. And it's an exciting time. I was sitting in Starbucks the other day, and a song came on the radio. And it was by, I think it was by Smokey Robinson, Sitting by the Dock of the Bay. Anyway, it was a Sitting by the Dock of the Bay. You know that song? Anyway, that came on, and you know, well, what memory does that trigger? That triggers, that was on, if you're a little older, you'll remember the movie Platoon. And I was on my way to the Army, and we had, my cousin and I had taken this CD, and we listened to it. We were in a limousine on our way to basic training. That's a whole other story for a whole other day, why we were there. But as we were driving in our limo to basic, which is a foolish thing to do, but just marks you. It sticks a mark on you, that says. So we were listening to this. And instantly, as I was sitting in Starbucks, not even thinking, I was transported right back to that moment. And I quickly got out my phone, and I Facebooked my cousin. I said, hey, I was just transported back. And we laughed together about kind of the craziness of that, of what that was. And Habakkuk goes on a bit of a memory journey through chapter 3. And so in verse 3 of Habakkuk chapter 3, he says this: God came from Teman, the Holy One from Mount Paran, Selah. And Selah basically is, again, there's some debate on this, but they think it's kind of like either an exclamation mark or like a pause. Whatever it is, it's take notice of this. Take notice of this. God came from Teman, the Holy One from Mount Paran. His glory covered the heavens, and his praise filled the earth. Now, for a lot of us, we might say, Habakkuk, that's your memory? What's that? What's Teman and what's Mount Paran? Well, after God had delivered his people, he had taken them from the Egyptians, from the hands of the Egyptians. And he began to take them out of slavery and bringing them out of the Egyptians. And all of a sudden, as they're walking along, they come to this sea, the Red Sea. And so all of a sudden, they look back and they see the Egyptians, because the Egyptians are, well, there goes our workforce. What were we thinking? Let's go get them back. And so off they start coming. And now they're trapped between the sea and these soldiers coming after them. And what are they going to do? And Moses sticks out his staff, right? And the waters open. And the Israelites, they walk through. And it isn't until every last Israelite and their baby gets through onto dry land on the other side does the water come crashing in and take out all of the Egyptian soldiers that were coming after them. And it is after that moment that God leads them to this place that we were just talking about, the place that Habakkuk is speaking about, that he takes them to this place. And it was at this place where they just started to begin the process of shedding their identity as a slave people. And it was where God had refuge on them and come on, guys. You're my people. You're my people. And he brought them, he defeated their enemy, and he brought them in, and he said, you're mine. It's a wonderful, wonderful place. All the way through the Old Testament, we see people building altars to God at those moments when God had done something. In the New Testament, we have the bread or the cracker, the broken body of Christ, the juice or the wine, the shed blood of Christ. And how many of us have maybe been sort of feeling a little bit blah, and we come to church and maybe it's Communion Sunday. And we take those emblems, and as Owen shares just for a couple of minutes about what Christ has done, and we close our eyes, and as we hold these things, all of a sudden, it's made so real to us. Yeah, God, you shed your blood for me. We've heard it a million times, but today at that moment, it just speaks to us. And this is what Habakkuk's doing. He's taking a bit of a memory journey. God, look what you did. And if we look at verses 4-6, it says, his splendor was like the sunrise, rays flashed from his hand, where his power was hidden. Plague went before him. Pestilence followed his steps. The earth, he stood and shook the earth. He just looked. He just looked and made the nation tremble. The ancient mountains crumbled. And the age-old hills collapsed. His ways are eternal. And then as you look through the next verse, verses of Habakkuk 3 from 7 to 15, you see Habakkuk remembers how God displayed his power through and glory through nature. And sometimes we need to sit back and we need to remember. To remember, God, when you shook the earth and Jericho's walls fell down. When you parted that Red Sea, when you defeated the enemy without a single arrow being shot, how you fed your people when they had no food, and you provided water when they had nothing to drink. When there was no way to go, God, you made a way. God, I remember what you are capable of. God, renew those deeds in our day. When we were in the valley, when we're in the valley, we need to remember. I go back to who I know God is. Oftentimes when we're in the valley, we're too focused looking at the issue that we're facing to look at God. And so we go back and we remember. Many times I found myself in the dip and I sit back and I remember how God healed me when I was a little kid. I didn't know any better. I didn't have any preconceived ideas. I was in grade 3 and my mom just marched me up to this guy to be prayed for. Okay, Mom, whatever you say. I think I might have even been in my pajamas. It was an evening meeting. And man, I just prayed for her, and I didn't even have faith because I was just doing what my mom said, and so I went up there and instantly healed. And then later on, you know, as I was in Bible college, God was doing some amazing things in my life and just drawing so close to me, and I just desired to be with him. And so it really wasn't common or uncommon for me just to spend tons of time with him. 3, sometimes 4 hours a day just praying, and just because it just felt so real. It wasn't like this trying. I just felt like I was spending time with him. And he was so real. And I remember my friend coming up to me and saying, you know, could you guys pray for me? Because I have scoliosis, and would you pray? And so we prayed. And God touched him, and he was instantly healed. I remember when I just started working in a church, and I didn't have any money. And my budget far exceeded what was being brought in. And every month, God faithfully provided. Sometimes he provided through gifts of money. Sometimes he provided through groceries. Sometimes he just fixed things and they went away. Even times when I didn't even deserve it, God helped me. He provided. God, I remember. You might say, well, I didn't have anything that dramatic. Well, maybe not. Maybe. Remember the time when you came to church, you didn't feel like you felt far from God? There was a word from God that was spoken right into your life. Remember maybe a time when you were down and just feeling horrible and that friend called. Or you turned on the radio and you heard that song and ministered to you. And God just, you know, you say, oh, it's not really a big deal. It's a big deal. God met you right where you were at. The God of the universe came and saw where you were feeling, what you were doing, and intervened and used something, someone, to speak into your life. That's a big deal. My son has one of these now. Well, he's got a few, but this was the one that most recent. I remember, and it, you know, it's a little thing, but I think we continually need to go back. We were just walking on Bowen Island, and we had probably covered about 5 kilometers, and we were walking through, and at the end, he had just come from his birthday, and it was at Christmas, too, and so he had all his money with him. Why did we let him go with all the money he had? His 13-year-old boy running through the woods, I'm not sure. But anyway, we come to the end of our hike, and we have to go catch a ferry, and he's like, oh, Dad, my wallet's gone. And we're thinking, oh, man. I mean, it is $100, but, you know, for a little kid, for a 13-year-old, and doesn't have any way of making money, that's a lot of money. All his money's gone. And so I said, well, I kind of thought, well, I guess that'll teach you a lesson there, kid. Don't bring all your money with you. But we said, well, okay, let's just quickly go look. And I had no intent, because this is the forest floor, right? It's not a black wall. It's not like it was bright orange or anything even. And it's 5 kilometers of trekking through the woods. And he says, in less than a minute, he goes, oh, here it is. And I said, what? What are you talking about? Hidden under a bush somewhere. And here it is. And I said, what? He said, oh, I just prayed. And God just showed me where it was. Yeah, that's a good idea. Why don't we do that? But you know, you think, it's not a really big deal. It's just a small thing. But man, you know when he's facing something big, If God cares enough to hear me in those small moments, man, what greater thing could he do as I face this big thing in front of my life? And we need to remember. Because when we're in the dip, if we have any hope at all of coming out and climbing out of that valley, we have to take our eyes off what is the issue, what is the problem we're facing, and we have to remember and place them on an all-sufficient, all-powerful Christ. It's our only hope. And we can, as we hear and see and remember what God has done, we can begin to put our faith, because sometimes those things just seem to drive us into the ground. And so we remember. The second thing we do is we accept what God is doing. Now, this doesn't mean that you roll over and play dead. It does not mean that you do not pray for miracles. I believe that we do. We should. And as a speaker I once heard said, don't hear what I'm not saying, okay? Don't read into what I'm not saying. But what I am saying is when you're in the valley, it's time to acknowledge you're in the valley. Or if God has directly spoken, as he had done with Habakkuk, you accept what is so, and you accept what God has said. Because way too many sometimes, as Christians, we put our head in the sand, and what we can do, I think, is we can, you know, we can make a bigger dip for ourselves, I think, sometimes. You know, God's taking it, oh, my marriage is awesome, it's great, and all of a sudden things aren't so good, and your wife or your spouse says, you know, I think we need some counseling. No, it's going to work out just fine. And you don't have any money and you need that house, or we'll just buy it on faith. Well, maybe God's doing something different. Or your health isn't good and you see the doctor and the doctor says, you know, you need to make some changes. No, it's going to be just fine. And we sort of kind of, woo. And God wants to do something through you as you accept what he's doing. As you accept what he's doing. And so we can at times be guilty of putting our head in the sand. And Habakkuk, I tell you, he was a prime person to take and put his head in the sand. He could have just said, God, this is too big. This is too much. I am not going to deal with this. I'm going to pretend that you never said this. I ate some bad kebabs last night. This is not real. He could have said that. But as we look in verse 16, this is what he says. He says, I heard and my heart pounded. My lips quivered at the sound. Decay crept into my bones and my legs trembled. Yet I wait patiently for the day of calamity to come on the nation invading us. You hear the fear in his words? He didn't like it. He didn't want it. But he looked truth squarely in the face and said, this is not going to be a fun season. He didn't hide away. He accepted with fear and trembling. I don't like it. People are going to die, probably me. I don't want it, but I trust God even though I don't fully understand. The sovereign hand of God was doing something there. God has spoken, and so I accept what he says. Sometimes in our life, we find ourselves in a valley. And if God has spoken and we accept, if we find ourselves there, we don't ignore the valley. We accept, I'm in a valley. And I want to tell you something really, and just so that you know really clearly, God will not waste any valley you walk through. God can redeem it and do it. He doesn't waste anything. And so we remember the power of God. We accept where we are. And finally, Habakkuk, he teaches us to trust. We trust what he is doing. As we look in verses 17 and 18, it says, though the fig trees do not bud, and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails, and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, when everything is falling apart, my life is falling apart, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior. When Habakkuk has no reason to rejoice, when he has no physical reason to be joyful, I will rejoice, he says, and be joyful. Even though the fig tree does not bud, I will be joyful. Even though the fields are not producing any crops, God, I will rejoice. Even though your spouse said until death do us part, they didn't live up to what they promised. God, even then, I will praise you. Even though I raise my kids to know better and they're making some very scary choices right now, I will rejoice in God. Even though we have prayed for someone to be healed and they haven't gotten better, maybe they've even gotten worse. God, I don't know what you're doing, God, but I trust the Lord my God. Even though my house will not sell, we're on the brink of financial ruin, God, I will rejoice in God my Savior. And even though I don't like it, even though I don't understand it, even though it makes no sense to me, even then, I will trust in the Lord. My prayer for all of us, including myself, is that we would have a Habakkuk chapter 3 faith. But you can't have a Habakkuk chapter 3 faith until you've had a Habakkuk chapter 1 kind of question, where you've hit something, where you just don't get it. It doesn't make sense. And you can't have a Habakkuk 3 type of faith until you've waited in faith. You know, it's Habakkuk chapter 2 and 4 when it says, the righteous, they'll live by faith. And we live by faith, and we can do that, we remember, because of Habakkuk, I think, chapter 2, verse 20, when it says that God, he's still on his throne. He's still in his temple. He's still sovereign. He hasn't lost control of anything. And we can wait patiently for the Lord. And I love, it moves on here. But God, I believe, can do more spiritually in the dip than he can on the mountaintop. And those who are closest to the Lord, if you really connect with some people that are really close with the Lord, they've had a lot of dips in their life. Oftentimes, those who are really close to the Lord are like an upward trending stock with their ups and downs. They have a dip. And they walk with the Lord. They trust in God. And then they walk along and they have a little dip and they walk. And they grow a little bit. And they go up. And you find those who are closest to the Lord have also had many dips. And in those low times, God proves himself, his character. He proves his grace and he proves his goodness. And one of the things that's great about growing in Christ and having a maturing faith is that you can say that I've had enough yesterdays so that I can trust him with my tomorrows. That you have known his goodness, that you have known his faithfulness in enough yesterdays that you can trust him with the uncertainties of tomorrow. I love how this book ends. As we come to the conclusion of this series of Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 19 comes. I love how it ends. The sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to go on the heights. Look, though there's no food in the barn, fig trees are not budding. Calamity is on its way. God, what are you doing? I don't know. But God, I'm going to trust that you are the sovereign God, and I will live by faith, even though what I see with my eyes doesn't match with my heart. I will wait, God, for you. And as you wait, as you put your trust in the Lord, as you remember what he has done, as you accept where you're at, and you trust, Lord, you trust by his strength, not by our own strength, by his strength, it says, he will make our feet like deer. He will take us to the heights. And as we put our whole trust in him, maybe our circumstances don't change, but our worship and our faith can rise out of that dip. Habakkuk, what does his name mean? It means to embrace, to wrestle. Sometimes we embrace and wrestle, and I want to challenge you. Don't let go of God. Don't do this. Okay? Hold on, because he won't let go of you. So hold on. But it's okay to hold on and to do a bit of wrestling at the same time. And as you walk through that valley, you wait in faith, because God will take you to new heights. Let's pray. God, again, we come to you, and we're grateful for this book. We're grateful for what you speak to us in your book, God. And Lord Jesus, I thank you that it is so real, that it hits oftentimes. It's a hard thing to talk about sometimes, the valleys that we walk through. But Father, I thank you that you meet us right where we're at, in that valley, God. And you can take us, and even though maybe the circumstances around us aren't changing much, you can take us out of that dip, out of that valley. As we trust you, as we remember the goodness of God. Because sometimes, God, if we're honest, we get really overwhelmed with what's going on. So God, help us to remember your character. Help us to remember who you are. Help us to remember your deeds, oh God. Things that you have done. Lord Jesus, we pray that we would then, as we remember, trust in you. And you will make our feet like the deer and take us to those new heights. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, thank you this morning for listening and being here. And we're looking forward to next week. And we have a surprise speaker next week. It's going to be very exciting. And you don't want to miss this. So, and then Owen will be back after that. And so it's great. So God bless you. Have a great week. Join us for coffee. I'll be over at the information table if you've got questions or anything like that. So bless you.